Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been sharing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm delighted you chose to join us today, and I pray that this program will truly be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. What a beautiful reminder this morning of God's faithfulness. And I'm so thankful that as long as I've been serving Him, and that's well over 60 years, God has always been faithful. And I hope that if you're listening today and you have a spiritual need, you'll recognize that. He is faithful to meet that need. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for the listening audience today. And I pray for each person listening to my voice. I pray that you would minister to them in a very special way as we talk about this great salvation that is ours. If there is a church person that really needs to reassess their relationship with Christ, may they do it. If there is a person who does not know you that's listening to the program today, may they recognize their need of this great salvation. I pray that you'd be with those that are sick and shut in and those who need a special physical touch. And I pray that you'd continue to bless this radio ministry as you've done across the years. We love you today. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. I pray all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I hope you'll remember me in prayer as I am involved in the month of May in revival meetings. This first weekend of the month of May, I am in Princeton, Indiana at the First General Baptist Church that closes out on this weekend. It is a weekend meeting. We started on the 1st of May and close on the 3rd of May. And then I'm going to travel back to High Point, North Carolina, one of our favorite places to go. We've been going to Charity Baptist Church now well over 20 years. And I'm looking forward to being with Reverend Elton Wilburn and Donnie and all the folks of Charity Baptist Church. And that's May the 10th. That's Mother's Day, Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And then I'm going to fly to Springfield Methodist Protestant Church in Thomasville, Alabama. And that will be May 17, 18, and 19. Then I'll travel home and look forward to Memorial Day week off. And then I'll be in revival services at the Church of the Nazarene in Odin, Illinois. That's May 29, 30, and 31. So I do covet your prayers as I am involved in these revival meetings. Don't forget to write to me. I need your help so we can stay on this radio station. As always, we're listener-supported, faith-based, and we need for folks to stand with us. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to lomanministries.org and give through Venmo or PayPal.
For many years he sat beside a dusty road, begging alms of those who passed his way. All his life he lived alone in darkness. His eyes had never seen the light of day. But today, a special miracle was waiting. For soon he heard the Master passing by. He cried, "Thou Son of David, please have mercy." As someone took his hand and said, "Arise," he's calling out your name, and he says, "Come unto me." Don't let him pass you by. He's the answer to your need. Reach out to him in faith. His power you'll be changed. You won't leave here like you came. He's calling out your name. He calls to the oppressed and to the weary. He's calling those with wasted, broken lives. Just like the little blind man, he will touch you. So no matter what you need, my friend, arise. He's calling out your name. And he says, "Come unto me." Don't let him pass you by. He's the answer to your need. Reach out to Him in faith. Through His power you'll be changed. You won't leave here like you came. He's calling out your name. Reach out to Him in faith. Through His power you'll be changed. You won't leave here like you came. He's calling out your name. He's calling out your name. He's calling your name.
What governs your choices from day to day? Every time you get up in the morning, what will determine how you live your life? As you plan your day, who gets your attention? What gets your attention? What is your personal frame of reference? The Hebrew writer gives a very solemn warning in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. It reads like this: We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. While this passage, these words, this question was written to the Hebrew congregation, I believe that it asks a very serious question that requires an answer from not only the Christian, but also from those of us who may not know Christ at the personal level. How shall we escape if we ignore so great salvation? For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore this great salvation? Greatness is an adjective used to describe many different things. Several years ago, I was conducting a revival meeting in the state of Georgia, Warner Robins, Georgia, to be specific. There's an Air Force base in that city. And one day, one of the men of that congregation came to me and said, "Hey, Lane, would you like to go over to the Air Force Base? They've got a great museum there." I've always been fascinated by aircraft. I said, "Sure, I'd like to go." And so we went to that aircraft museum, and there were airplanes from all wars that we have fought across the years. And as we were going through the museum, he stopped me and he said, "You see that man right over there?" And I looked, and there was a man walking on the other side of the room. He said, "You know who that is?" I said, "No." He said, "That's General Robert Scott." General Robert Scott. He wrote the book, "God is My Co-Pilot." He also wrote the book, "The Day I Owned the Sky." He walked the entirety of the Great Wall of China at age 70. He was probably one of the greatest pilots the United States Air Force has ever known. A great pilot. I was sitting in the airport at South Bend, Indiana several years ago. The fog had enshrouded that airport, and I was delayed in getting out of the airport that day. I was going home after a Bible meeting. So I was waiting for the fog to lift so they would release the plane to take me home. And as I sat there, I just happened to look down the corridor of that terminal. And as I looked down the corridor, I saw a man walking toward me. He looked familiar. He was walking with the aid of a lady. As he got closer to me, I recognized him. Walking right toward me was a man who had stood in boxing ring after boxing ring all across the world. And he would shout out the fact, "I am the greatest." It was Muhammad Ali right there in front of me. He came into that waiting area where I was, and other people recognized him, and they got up and they walked over to him and asked for his autograph. And he very graciously and very kindly gave his autograph on a Muslim religion tract and handed it to them. He was one of the greatest. But I submit this congregation this morning, of all the things and all the people who carry this title of greatness, there is nothing any greater than this salvation that's been made available to you and me. Amen. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And there are three simple statements I want us to notice out of this question for our consideration today. Let's look at them. First of all, how shall we escape? How shall we escape? Outside of this salvation, how are we going to escape the wrath of God? Outside of this salvation, how are we going to make it to heaven? Do you realize that this is a question that God Himself cannot answer? How shall we escape? But yet I have discovered in my life and ministry that there are countless hundreds, yea, thousands of people who would rationalize away their need of this great salvation by denying they don't need it. I'm a good person. I pay my just and honest debts. I don't do anything really wrong or bad. I mean, I'm a credit to society, and they will try to convince themselves that they need this salvation because they're morally good. Well, let me remind you of what the Bible has to say. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Word of God and the nightly newscast point out with crystal clarity that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So denying that you need this salvation is not going to negate your need of this great salvation. Others will try to rationalize away the need of this great salvation by trying to hide their sins. They say, well, I know I'm a sinner, but as long as nobody knows about it, as long as nobody sees me do what I do, then I'm all right. No one has ever successfully hidden their sins from God. You go to the Word of God and you'll find a very familiar story for some of us. The children of Israel had just crossed the Jordan River. They're now into the promised land that they had been promised. And their first great obstacle was the city of Jericho. And so God put into motion a plan. He told Joshua to tell the people, you're to march around the city 6 times, 1 time each day. And then on the 7th day, I want you to march around the city 7 times. And then on the 7th time around, the trumpeters are going to blow their horns and the people are going to give a great shout. But all the other times you're marching around the city, no one is to make a sound. And then he said, you tell the people, no one is to take any spoil out of the city once you take it. They do exactly as Joshua instructed them to do. They marched around the city once each day for 6 days. On the 7th day, 7 times around, 7th time, they played the horns and the walls began to crumble and they conquered the mighty Jericho. And the next city to be conquered is the small town of Ai. And Joshua thinks, it's a small town. We'll have no problem conquering that town. And so he takes a smaller contingency of soldiers up against Ai. And in the ensuing battle, they're routed and 30 Israelites are killed in the process. Joshua can't understand. Why? And God revealed to Joshua their sin in the camp. You see, after they conquered Jericho, in the early evening shadows, a man creeps into Jericho. He grabs a wedge of gold, a Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, takes those items back to his tent in the camp of Israel, and he pulls back the floor covering of his tent, digs a hole, and buries them there. And now they've lost the battle against Ai, and God says to Joshua, there's sin in the camp. In my imagination, I see Joshua take the elders of the people of Israel, and they begin to make the rounds to every tribe, every clan in every tribe, and they find the head of the clan or the tribe, and they look them right in the face, and they ask a very simple question. Have you sinned against God? Have you sinned against God? Finally, they came to the tent of one named Achan. And when that question was posed, I can, in my imagination, see the countenance of Achan fall. Yes. I took a wedge of gold, 200 shekels of silver, a Babylonian garment. You'll find it in the dirt under the floor covering of my tent. They brought those items out as testimony against Achan and his family. And if you want to see the finality of sin, you look at what happened. I know it sounds very graphic, but it's the Word of God. They took Achan and his family, stoned them to death, cremated them, and scattered their ashes outside the camp of Israel. You see, you never sin in a vacuum. It always affects others. So it's a foolish thing to think that one can hide their sin from God. It's impossible. But there are others who will try to rationalize away their need of this great salvation by trying to adjust to sin. I can adjust to it. I know I do things I shouldn't do, but, you know, it's just me. I can adjust to it. I'm not impacting anybody else. I can adjust to my lifestyle. I'm not hurting anyone. I like to do that. I know it's wrong, but I do it anyway. And I've kind of adjusted to the idea that this is my lifestyle. It's my life. I'll live it as I want. And they've adjusted to the idea of sin in their life. But here's a question that should stop us in our tracks if we have that kind of a mindset regarding sinful living. What will you say to Jesus? Because we will all have to answer to him. There is a judgment. And the Bible says that when we stand before Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, who now will become our judge, the Bible says that he'll open the books and he will look at your life. Everything's being recorded, so there's nothing that's done that shall not be uncovered, the Bible says. And then he's going to open the book of life. And if your name is not listed in the Lamb's book of life, lost for all eternity. Come home, come home. He who are weary, come home. Sleep, take.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I pray that the program has truly been a blessing to you. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. In the state of Kentucky, the Churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point. Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. And in the state of Indiana, Bethel Wesleyan Church in Columbus, Columbus Free Methodist Church in Columbus, Indiana, the Church of the Nazarene in Orleans, Indiana, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church, again in Columbus, Indiana. I hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us that letter of support. We do need to hear from you, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and click on the Venmo or the PayPal tab there. Our mailing address is the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Until the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.